Thank you.
Dana mentioned that she can't have a guy. Oh, okay. All right. I need to put you in there because you're making brain. Oh, how much did she check? I think she's somewhere at home.
I don't know, but I remember there's an extra one.
Oh, I can get that to you now
if it's not a problem.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just remember. Yeah, no problem. I'll talk to you.
I was there. I heard about that, Scott.
Thank you.
I had time to do some food, remember you said?
I'm good, I'm great, I didn't have a. Thank you.
That first year game. You. Said whoever. Okay, that's always.
But we asked. Yes, sir.
That's a shattering.
So do you know how many students?
Or.
Are you proud of?
Yeah. No, that's kind of that. That's speech is normal.
Is it me out? Oh, yeah.
And that's what it was.
I thought it was one.
Because.
And not you always have.
Yeah. No.
It's okay. Sorry.
You got it.
Yeah.
I know. But you know. All I can do is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. I don't think I do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you all had really good summers. I hope your year is off to a good start. I've already had the pleasure to talk with a lot of you, and it's great to see the rest of you. I thought I would do what I usually do. It's been a very busy summer, so I thought I'd start by giving you a few updates. I'll take 10 minutes or so and then open things up for questions, if that's okay with everybody. So first update, because we talked so much about this last year, is on the Diversity and Inclusion Initiative. I think everybody knows that last year we had these three presidential task forces. I'm not sure if everybody knows that the provost also had the task force on diversifying the faculty. All those task forces, well, the task force with the three subcommittees and the other task force, submitted their recommendations at the end of May. Lots of recommendations, 100+ recommendations. So my leadership team and I spent the summer analyzing them, organizing them, sorting out overlaps, grouping them together, and also identifying what are the things we're already doing. Turns out there are a number of recommendations for things we're already doing, so clearly we're not communicating well enough about them, so we'll have to communicate better. What are the things we're going to do immediately? What are the things we'll do in about a year, because you just, you know, you can't get everything done at once. And then what are the things that are aspirational, good ideas, but we perhaps need to raise more resources. I hope you all got an email on, it was about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. One of the things we did was we put up a web page. There was a lot of focus on being accountable, and one of the ways we're going to be accountable is we have this web page. Now, I have to confess, right now the web page is just a grid. It was taken kind of directly from an Excel spreadsheet. We will be working to make it a more interactive web page, but at least for now, it's up there, and you can see what we're trying to do, and you can keep track of that. I didn't mean really seriously what I said at the end of my email. We're committed to this, but this is a community of tens of thousands of people, and really, we need everyone involved. We can't, we could be fully committed and work on this 24/7, but if the community isn't also practicing these principles, we won't make progress. You can go and look at all the things we're doing. I want to mention just a few highlights here, otherwise it would take the whole meeting. One thing we did already with orientation was to provide an abbreviated version of an IDP, intergroup dialogue project session, to all the first year students. IDP is a great program. It's probably the only program I know of that has evidence evidence-based outcomes, we know that it changes the way in which students interact with each other. Now, normally it's a semester-long program. This was an experiment. It was a three-hour sort of mini version, and we'll do a check-in mid-semester. It's going to need changes, it's going to need tweaks, but we're committed to making sure that every student has this experience. And I'm really excited to say that we've seen a 40% uptake, 40% increase in students who have expressed interest in registering for the Wanda program, so that's good. A second thing which may be of particular interest to the graduate students is the CTI, the Center for Teaching Innovation, has created a new online course on teaching and learning in the diverse classroom. One of the main things we heard from students, undergraduate and graduate, was that sometimes the faculty members needed a little more help in teaching effectively in a multicultural classroom and in handling difficult decisions, discussions. And we heard from graduate students, TAs, and from faculty that they wanted this kind of training. So CTI, which is under the direction of Matt Ouellette, and that's a new director he came last year from Wayne State, has put together a course. It's going to roll out. You can already go sign. I believe you can sign up for it. Certainly the advertisements are up starting in October. It will be open to anyone. In particular, we encourage faculty and teaching assistants to take it. We'll run it one time. The bugs out. We'll begin to spread it out further, and we'll see where it goes from there. The provost has tripled the financial support for bringing in diverse faculty. I think that's extremely important. You know, we are actually on par with our peers in terms of the number of faculty from underrepresented groups, and we have the added challenge of being in a small community, but that timeline just means we need to double down and work even harder at it. I want to just mention two more things. One, and I'm going to put Matthew on the spot a little bit, but one of the subcommittees, the Committee on Speech and Harassment, really focused on issues in the Campus Code of Conduct. And as Matthew and I have discussed, since I got here, one of the main things I've heard are pleas to change the Campus Code of Conduct. It's very legalistic. It has sort of a punitive tone instead of an educational aspirational tone. It's very hard for me. And the subcommittee made a number of recommendations, both having to do specifically with strengthening our definitions of harassment, making them consistent with Policy 6.4, but also with cleaning up the code overall. Now, I don't have the authority for changing the code. That is the responsibility of the University Assembly, which then makes recommendations to me and the board, and we've asked them to do that. And I had a great conversation with Matthew, who is the chair of the University Assembly, I think brings the perfect background as a law and business student to do this, and I'm looking forward to working with them throughout the year to get that done. The last thing I want to mention before I give a few other updates is a value statement. You know, this university doesn't have a statement, one single place where we talk about our core values. You can go to the university. I actually saw a beautiful value statement today on the Carnegie Mellon University website. I think if I were to go out and ask each of you what are Cornell's core values, if I were to ask the faculty, even if I were to ask the alumni, there'd be a lot of consensus about what they are. And they are written down, but some of them are in the academic integrity code, some of them are in the code of conduct, some of them are in the any person ethos. We need one statement that we as a community say, these are our values, we can hand it to every new member of the community, every existing member of the community, when we make difficult decisions, we can point to that. So we're going to be working on that this semester as well. Okay, a whole lot more in the diversity and inclusion space. Please take a look at the website. As always, we always welcome not just your thoughts and feedback, but your help. This is not something that's going to get solved tomorrow or next month or next year. This is going to take all of us, the human society, persistently working. I know that a major issue for students is always student mental health. It's a major issue for me when I go to meetings of other college presidents. It's always like number one on the agenda. We've made a number of additional resource investments over the summer, not just in terms of counselors, but also in student disability services. In fact, I think this is really important. Over the past 2.5 years, the number of counselors that we have has gone from 32 to 43. That's a really significant number. Now, I realize there's still issues, but we are working on it. We're adding a new approach to nighttime call. We've always had 24/7 calls. You know, if you have a serious issue in the middle of the night, you can call in. But what used to happen is you'd call, and then the switchboard would find one of our daytime counselors, then they put them through, you had to wait, and then the daytime counselor is up half the night helping you, which makes it very difficult for them to be an effective counselor the next day, and that adds to the backlog. So we have contracted with a company called Protocol. We're going to see how they work, but they were very carefully vetted. They're used at our peers. They're used at universities around the country. They're available 24/7, and if you call and ask for nighttime counseling, you will be put through immediately to them. And we're going to, you know, we'll be watching this and see how it works, but we're optimistic that this will be helpful. Finally, on this topic, Vice President Lombardi is working towards a comprehensive review, not just of our clinical services, but of our mental health services and our wellness services more broadly. I know, because I've been in other meetings with him where he's asked for it, if you have thoughts about what we should be looking at in particular, please let him know, and you all know his email address. He's really seriously looking into doing a good and thorough work with this. Okay, just a few more updates. I want to thank the Students with Families Advisory Committee. With their input, the grant pool for our student child care grant program has increased again by $100,000. It's now up to $250,000 annually, and there are additional challenges to the eligibility, and this came at the direct request of students. Related to that, I'm really very, very pleased to hear about your Graduate and Professional Community Initiative. I looked at the work in progress. What I really appreciate about it is you're not just generating ideas, but you're prioritizing them. I mean, I can generate a gazillion ideas, but part of my job is always to prioritize them because we can't do everything. If there are ideas from this community, I would love your feedback and your input on what's more important and what may be important, but you'd be willing to trade off for the more important things. So I strongly encourage you, all of you, to be involved in that. Consensual relationship policy, I think you all know, was adopted in May. Many thanks to the GPSA leadership, who worked very closely with the Dean of Faculty, Charlie Van Lone, and Hannah Waymark to create a good solution to that. And last thing, I want to mention some academic initiatives going on. First of all, I hope those of you in Arts and Sciences have had a chance to meet Ray J. O'Donna, the new Arts and Sciences Dean. If you haven't, I encourage you to find an opportunity. He's really a fantastic and interesting guy. Mei Jun Yoon, who is currently the chair of architecture at MIT, is starting at architecture in January. And we are very close, very, very close to hiring a business school dean. I think you all know about the issues with the social science initiative. The provost asked for a faculty group to look at how we could elevate the stature of social sciences here. Cornell has very, very strong social sciences, and they don't get the outside recognition they should, in part because they're a little bit diffuse. As I think people know, the faculty committee came in with a bunch of ideas, some of which were more controversial than others. And there was pushback to immediately take off the table the most controversial, the merger of ILR and human ecology. I have to say, I think the provost did the right thing by standing behind the faculty committee and saying, look, it's a faculty committee. The faculty put this out as one idea amongst many. It deserves conversation and thought, just like all their ideas. That conversation happened. There was no support for that idea, and so now it's been taken off the table. But the result of it has been a lot of really robust discussion about how we might move forward. And then the very last thing I'll mention, I think I mentioned this last year, but if you don't know about it, I think it's important. We are one of the founding participants in the Coalition for Next Generation Life Sciences. This is a group of leading universities that feel that it's really important. Well, we feel it's really important to be transparent about all of our graduate student data, and you can find an awful lot of that. I think Barb's done a great job of providing that transparency. But in particular, in the life sciences, where there's really been a shift in the career trajectory of doctoral students and a number of students who get jobs and so on, this is an attempt by these universities in a standardized way to put out data both about the graduate school experience, median time to degree, for example, and the postgraduate experience. How long are people staying in postdoctoral positions? Where are they getting jobs? How many of them are getting jobs and so on? If you're in the life sciences, I urge you to look at it. If you Google Coalition for Next Generation Life Sciences, you'll find it. So I think those are all my updates. And
we have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
About 15 minutes for questions. For questions. If you have any questions, raise your hand on the record and I'll keep us to Christmas.
Oh, that's such a quiet group.
Oh, I'm not.
So, first off, thank you for coming. This is So you did spend talk about a lot of law school and professional schools in general is the career governance body is kind of really for this body tends to focus very much on graduate students, PhD students, not so much. And I mean, Cornell is very decentralized. You and I have spoken about that. Our way to make Cornell. Of course. Cornell's decentralization is part of what makes us so unique.
Right.
But in terms of, is there any way or any, with the idea of one Cornell, how can we try and ensure that the entire graduate and professional student body is really engaged? And on that, is there anything that you think this assembly can do to try and help with that or help with other initiatives that you're looking for?
Oh, that's a great question. So, you know, Cornell is very decentralized. It's not actually unique. Harvard is very decentralized. University I came from, University of Michigan, is very simple. I think its decentralization is one of its great strengths. When you have a decentralized university, you can have a great law school and a great arts and sciences school, which is like a liberal arts college, and a great medical school, and they can all do things the way they should be done, and the deans aren't incentivized to be entrepreneurial. It's also our greatest weakness, because we sometimes don't know about what is going on in other units. We sometimes duplicate efforts and so on. One Cornell, what originally I think the phrase one Cornell meant, New York campuses and Ithaca campus, I'm using it much more broadly to say let's work across boundaries even on the Ithaca campus. To be completely honest, I've mainly been thinking about it in the space of teaching and research. But you raise a really good point. We can also, I think, be more effective in shared governance if we think of one Cornell. And the main thing I would say there is, and you and I have talked about this, let's talk, like rather than the student assembly throwing something over the transom and then graduates, professional student, and then the university, so let's talk about what we want to get done together. There are administration and the assemblies aren't always going to agree, but I think more often than we know, we have the same goal in mind. And if we can talk a little bit more rather than throwing resolutions back and forth, I think we'll all be pretty more effective.
Thank you again for your time and for coming. My question is, you mentioned the graduate professional initiative, and that's a document that we're working on there to take very seriously. So if you had to narrow down to one strategy, one huge tip, what would you suggest for the members who are looking on the document?
For how to come up with the most effective strategy for what?
In terms of approaching the document, would you prioritize certain areas of focus
or
others?
So that's a really good question. So let me suggest two techniques I've used in my life. One is to distinguish between things you think we could do right now, like tomorrow we should be able to do them, versus things that we should be able to do within the next 2 or 3 years with more work to be done, to things that are aspirational. If you really like them, typically those are ones that you know will require a lot of resources. The second thing I would recommend is when you think about how to measure success on each of those, think about what would constitute modest success and what would constitute wild success. And wild success should be really hard. You shouldn't expect we're going to get wild success. But if we were to really stretch ourselves, what would that look like? And if we were to, you know, do enough that it would be satisfactory, what would it look like? I think when you do that, you get a sort of rich, nuanced plan from it.
Hi, so thanks very much for coming to our assembly meeting today. So my question is in relation to the Next Gen Life Sciences Coalition that we're discussing. So one of the things I've noticed at Cornell is that there are a lot of great resources for alternative careers outside of academia, but there's sometimes a reluctance of faculty to appreciate that these are acceptable career options.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, what's Cornell doing to kind of change that culture mindset?
So that's a great question. And it's one, honestly, that I have to remind myself of because I come from maybe the only field on campus, computer science, where it was always the case that the overwhelming majority of PhDs didn't go to academia, where sometimes the faculty members say, what? You got an offer from Google when I was young. It was Microsoft Research and you're not going. So I do have to remind, I always appreciate being reminded of that. You know, I think there's two answers to that. One is we do have this BEST program. BEST has now been institutionalized and made broader. And I think that as the number of students who become involved and the number of faculty who become involved grows, they will carry the message out. The second point, honestly, is that the market is going to force that. So it used to be, when I was much younger, that part of how you were judged, again, not in my field, but in most fields, that part of how you were judged as a faculty member was on the basis of where your students had gone and gotten jobs. That can't be anymore because there aren't enough jobs and students are doing lots of different things. So I think that will change too. Finally, you know, I am the rest of my hot coffee co-host in particular, and the deans need to remember what you've said and make that part of our decision. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Just to focus in on the mental health issue.
Yeah.
What would you like to see GPSA on the GPS guide to account for this or like my studies like going forward?
I appreciate that question. Would it be okay if I asked Ryan Lombardi to answer that because he's really the point person on mental health?
Sure, Alicia, I really appreciate you asking that question. What would be most helpful for us right now is we're trying to gather information and ideas about the specific elements we should look at when it comes to doing comprehensive reviews of mental health. So when I say those specific elements, you know, on one hand, you might jump immediately to clinical services or how many support mechanisms. Counseling center. But actually, I want to unpack the campus a little more broadly and think about are there climate issues on campus that impact mental health? Yes, right? Are there other issues around personal violence? Are there issues around certain policies on campus that contribute to student mental health? So, really trying to get a sense of those questions that you think we should ask to viewers as they take a look and brainstorming those and sharing those with us would be very helpful. And also, what maybe in your own experience have been some of those. Challenging areas that you've had to navigate as a graduate or professional student, we should make sure to avoid that too. So I really focus on what are the questions we should ask, and perhaps what are those pressure points that are particularly impactful to your mental health and or to your peers and things you've seen on campus. That would be enormously helpful as we gather a lot of data right now. You can send those my way, we'll trigger. Rena wants to collect it, you know, can you pick them in? That would be really good.
So, Alicia? So, and just to follow up, Ryan, what would be your email address, people, captions, everything to you?
So, probably the best email, my Ryan Lombardi's out there, would probably be bpscl@cornell.edu, as in Vice President for Student and Campus Life, bpscl. If you send them there, it would be a little easier for us to collect them and not have them be lost in my actual inbox.
Which is full of messages from me, sorry.
True.
So, thank you. Next, we have Jared.
So this is another question up in the health initiative. I think there have been multiple student groups who have called for this study to be done by an independent group and not through house. I think for reasons having to do with the fact that you know Cornell may not choose to release the more embarrassing things it finds, perhaps. Is there any reason, is this being considered, or is there a reason why it would be?
So we haven't gotten to the point of deciding who will conduct the review. I think part of the first step is to understand what we want to look at. And I think that'll really inform that broader question about who's best to come in. Obviously, I think we're going to want people to have expertise in mental health. I don't want that just to be Cornell folks. I do envision it being external audiences, and I can't speak to exactly who that'll be yet. That'll come a little bit later in the fall.
But also, I understand the concern that we might not reveal things that are embarrassing, but we will put out the results, just like we did the JET study. We will put this out.
Any other questions?
Thank you so much for joining us. So I was just looking at the diversity and inclusion website, and I noticed that there's no mention of anything about the American Indian and Indigenous Studies program, or come the fact that Cornell is on Storm Cato Land, and just wanted to bring that
yeah.
to your attention, and
yeah.
I think that's something that you yeah. should really.
Yeah, and again, the things that are on those website are the recommendations that came from the task force and then some other things we've already done, but we are quite sensitive to and aware of them.
And will those changes be made?
What change exactly?
Change for the formal acknowledging of that on the website or statements?
I mean, we are working towards acknowledgments of various kinds. At my inauguration, we brought in Chief George to lead the inauguration. If you go to the freshman students, said I don't have a particular plan in mind at this point.
I'm Sharon.
So last year, there was some questions that came up around the new Maplewood complex, which MCIS is a, you know, it is a pseudo-Cornell affiliated, right? There's a sort of a branding around it, which marks it as something that students can go to as a safe route for housing if they're not easily able to get it here when they come. So a lot of internationals would rely on it, and yet because of the strange way the university went about constructing and leasing the land, international students cannot take jobs as staff to help with the complex that they're traditionally able to on that sort of property. Has the university looked into trying to fix this?
Yeah, we again, when that plan was done, and this all happened before I got here, there were a lot of surveys of students, and the overwhelming concern by far was to produce that housing as low a cost as possible. And the way that it was determined back then that we would do that was in a public-private partnership. And because it's a public-private partnership, the visa laws are such that the students can't work there. Now, given not that issue, but given the other issues that have arisen around Maplewood, we are now taking a pretty significant and deep look at how and whether we want to do more public-private partnerships. But we don't have a particular way to address that one. Those contracts are signed and the legal state of the immigration laws are.
Any other questions?
Okay, well, have a good year. I look forward to seeing you all around campus.
Thank you so much. Next on our agenda, we have from August 27th and 10th. Let's discuss August 27th first. Any amendments?
Both of them, I'm written as a member present, but I'm not a wheelchair.
Oh, okay. So, any objections to the current standards being from member present? Say none, we'll strike them. Any other amendments? Yes.
Yes, I'm for the August 27th meeting under the instructions that this is all established my name and that I'm the chair. I have to make it several updates. I don't know how they were included in the minutes.
Okay, so you would like your various updates to be included?
Yeah.
Okay. So can you give this to Matt later? So is there any objection to including updates in a minute? Basically, none. We'll end that. Any other changes?
Motion to postpone the meeting minutes until next meeting.
Okay.
Change incorporated.
Okay, so any changes? Seeing none, we'll postpone the minute from August. So, and now we'll talk about the September 10th minutes. Any proposed changes or amendments?
Motion to approve the September meeting minutes.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, September 10th minutes is approved. Thank you. So, Eugene, you'll get that for our amendments. And so, here we have Professor Pollack. Next, we have and is going to tell us a little bit more about our slide.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to give a brief like technical introduction on just how we use Slack. I'm going to start by, for those of you who don't know what Slack is, it's a service by which we can help communicate with each other. We have a Slack distance call, which is a place where we can set up communication, we can directly message people, we can set up channels where people can message into. This is just a way for us to all have a better sense of what's going on in the GPSA and getting in touch with other members. So I just wanted to take a few minutes here to show you how to just get started with Slack. You should have gotten an email giving you the address that everyone can use to get a Slack profile and then also join you for the GPSA Slack. Make sure to let us know if you either didn't get that email or any of these steps are working for you so that everyone can get on board with the Slack. So the way I'm going to do this, and if that's okay, I'm just going to start with the
to, there's going to be a Slack. Can everybody see this? Okay, or should I zoom in?
Make it bigger.
Make it bigger.
How's the green flush?
I also don't know. Damn computer science major, this is how. Can everybody see what's going on with the screen like that? So this is the website from gpsa.com. So the first thing that you need to do, of course, is you need to actually set up the account. So down at the bottom of the screen, you can't see it, it's okay, but just know at the bottom of the screen there's a link that says create an account. If you have a Cornell, at cornell.edu email address. It's super easy to set up. I'm not going to walk through that. It's a hassle for me to do it again since I already have an account. But all you have to do is like create an account, you'll get an email, and then let you set it up immediately. I'm going to log into my account quickly. And once you have a Cornell account, you can just log in directly. Obviously, you have to have a password. I assume everyone's like up to the database. Thank you.
EDIU.
Okay. So let me zoom in again. Fortunately, zoom in this book. So this is the Slack API. Which is to say, this is like the main page of Slack. So when you're on the page, you're going to see all this stuff. So the things I'd like to point out are in the middle. This is like all the things that have been posted. This is the general Slack channel, so it's everybody gets signed in on. So I can, when you're in a channel, and I'm just going to post this, I'll probably delete this later. I can post, this is a post. And it gets posted to the channel, so you can just write things directly. One thing that I wanted to mention that's super important is you can, by mousing over something, you can start a thread. So down at the bottom of this, when you mouse over something, so this is a post, you can select start a thread here, and this allows you to make comments on the thread. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is, so that's, you can just post, you can do a mode, so you can do all kinds of standard stuff. But the biggest thing that you should know about, that's really important, you can encounter into it, is this channel's sidebar. And this is where a lot of stuff happens. There are very few people, even that have been using Slack in the past, haven't used these as much. So I just want to, give a plug for the importance of channels, setting up channels, using channels. You don't want to post something and then have everybody in GPSA see it. Let's say I want to ask a question about our mental health. But then I probably don't want to just send this to everybody at GPSA. What you can do instead is select a channel, the mental health channel, and this has like a list of previous messages, and you can ask your question here. This is a great way for organizing our discussion so that everybody relevant can see the message. Similarly, make sure to check channels that have been posted. As you can see, we don't have any posts. Slack was just introduced at the end of last year, and we're hoping to get more activity going on the channels. So besides selecting a channel, you can also search for channels and create your own channels. So first of all, if you mouse over the word channels, this will give you a list of channels. Can everybody see where I just showed it? So you select the word channels, above the list of channels, then you can browse through them, and you can see which ones you're in and then which ones you can join. So just clicking on one will let you join the channel. Also, you can create a channel. So if I want to, up here, you can just create a channel. You give a name to the channel, you give a purpose, and you can invite some people to this channel. And this allows you to create a new point of discussion. So if something new comes up, then you can create a channel for it. So for example, if mental health didn't already exist and I wanted to make it, then I can add mental health channel, and then it'll yell at me because it already exists. But everybody good with that? Also, I'll have time for questions at the end, so let me know if I skip from. The last thing is that you can message people directly. So channels are above direct messages. Direct messages allow you to pick anybody who's in the GPSA Slack. So
So here's a list of all the people that are inside of it. So I can just go through and select someone to reflect. So these are all the useful features of Slack, and all right, so that's essentially the basics of using Slack. If you have any questions about any of these features, feel free to message me directly. I'm signed into like 10 Slack workspaces, so like, I have a lot of experience. But yeah, feel free to message us directly. And then also, I have some time for questions right now.
Yeah,
5 minutes. All right.
Yes, Andy and then
Abby. Thank you, Nietzsche. My question is, what would you say is the advantage of using Slack as opposed to, I don't know, Facebook Messenger or Google Hangouts? Like, what's the biggest advantage of using Slack? Is it easier to go back to the threads?
So what, the question is, what's the advantage of using Slack as opposed to a variety of other services, email or Facebook Messenger, or a variety of services to work at? So it's a plug for Slack in general, but Slack is really, really good at being able to see the history of messages in a nice, like, organized space in such a way that everybody who's a member of that community can also see. Google Hangouts actually provides some of the same features. We just use Slack for a variety of, like, private reasons, you know, it's a little bit better privacy. It gives us more of the structure that we kind of end up wanting in a workspace. It's designed specifically for a workspace environment, like for a workplace. But over something like email or Facebook Messenger, it just gives you kind of that structure and the ability to communicate with everybody relevant, which is why we're using Slack for GPS. Good question. Thank you.
I have two questions, actually. The first is who you are intending on using Slack for GPS? Is it everybody here, just coding members, just reps, whatever? And then the second one is, if we did not get an email invitation about this yet, how do we go about it?
Cool. Yeah, great questions. So first of all, the first question is, should we even intend on using Slack? I think everybody here can definitely hop on Slack. It's definitely not restricted to just voting members. It'd be great if we could get more communication. In particular, and you'll hear more about this during division breakups. Is that we hope to be able to use Slack as a way for members of the division or of the community to interact with voting members directly. While, you know, in GPSA, obviously, there are a ton of people here. So asking questions, making comments can seem, you know, can seem intimidating or whatever. Messaging directly through Slack is not, you can just get in touch with someone. So hopefully everybody here will use Slack to some degree. And this also gives me a chance to make a plug for a channel that we use quite a bit, which is the live channel. So if you're in Slack and you haven't joined the hashtag live channel already, this is a great way to keep up with what's going on in GPSA. I take notes here during every GPSA meeting, which come up immediately or just less having to wait for the minutes. They're less comprehensive than the minutes. Obviously, you refer to the minutes as the official version of all this, but hopefully this gives you some information about what's going on during the meeting, especially if you can't make it or if you miss the details. And then your second question is, if you didn't get an email about this service, so first of all, make sure that you're on the mailing list, which I think Andy, you can talk to Andy about. That should have been sent out to the main GPSA mailing list. Otherwise, actually, I'll defer to you. What would you recommend for making sure they
talk to me if you're not getting the email? And I included it as a link under Slack on the agenda, so that was this.
Yeah, so check out the most recent agenda. And then just talk to me in person if you like. I could just give you the link directly if you like and didn't get that to the email. But yeah, in general, make sure you're getting emails because those are generally very useful. Love for Andy.
Andy?
One quick question. If we sign up with our Cornell email address, are we automatically communicating on these hashtags or these channels?
Yes.
Or do you have a list of channels that we can?
So initially, you start with just, so the question is, if you sign up with Cornell EDU, do you get signed into all these channels that I listed here? The answer is no. You actually just started, I think, with general and random. You can add more channels by just clicking this channels button right here, and then you can select the channels that are relevant to you. I highly recommend live. And then I, for example, am in like SAC and mental health. Like, I'm interested in a whole bunch of things, so I joined them. Yeah, so if you're interested in keeping your channels, just browse through the list. Let's see.
Yeah, so make sure that it's actually joint channels. Oh, yeah, I did forget to mention as well, it does require a Cornell.edu web address to sign up for Slack. To make sure that we don't just have anyone joining your Slack profile. Let us know if that's an issue. I can try and figure out a way. If you don't have a Cornell.edu address, if you're no longer a student or whatever, but you just never got one assigned, then talk to me and we can try and figure out a workaround. But make sure you sign up with your Cornell.edu address so we can keep that security in Russia.
Any other questions? So we have to use a breakout, and we have to use it. Given that, please remember that you have to sign in your attendance during the Zoom breakout. And this is the chart of where you should be going. At the front, professional schools, social sciences, humanities, physical sciences, life sciences.
I'm going to say, I
I think you are. Fitness centers, fitting what students are expecting and meeting. The next meeting will be Friday, October 12th, from 9:30 to 10:30, and we'll be in Plant Science 336. And there'll also be a Zoom link if you're interested in attending via Zoom. And there is a Stack Facebook page and a Stack channel on the CPSA Slack. And if you have any questions or ideas, you can email her at emk76.
Can you repeat the day and time?
Sure. It is Friday, October 12th, from 9:30 to 10:30 in Plant Science 336. And it's also available via remote, the time is through Zoom.
So, from next meeting onward, all of this will all be included in your new package. So, committee chairs, please submit this update to Alex at least 24 hours before the meeting time.
I'll send her.
Yes. And members, please read those updates before coming to the meeting. Okay. Any other questions? Or, you know, if there's anything a specific chair would like to highlight that is super important.
As we're getting through this, I realized that I was talking about the diversity and inclusion, but that sounds wrong from the perspective of how we organize it, but I'd also like to emphasize everyone's invited to attend it for just fun as well. So I think tickets are already on sale for that, and if you're interested, we'll get some tickets contact with you.
It's a very, really fun event. Any other questions? Okay. Yes. Oh. Sorry. No, we're not giving out. Yes. Yeah, the updates is here. Like, yes. Just questions if you have one. Okay. Andy?
Sure. So, if you didn't get a name tag or you were able to sign in, sure to do so. Or if your name tag says something that you represent, let me know at the end of the meeting.
Thank you. So if there's no other questions for any committee chairs, including Jen from the grad school, we can move on to the next thing on our agenda, which is open forum. And this is where members can make announcements or comments on anything relatable. Is there anyone who would like to do so? Okay, so none, we'll move on to old business. And this is generally what where we do resolutions that I've been introduced and have two of them. The first one being resolution one, resolution approving the GPSA internal budget for the 2018-2019 term. And Sandra is presenting on behalf of the we already presented it, so we are now on to formal discussion. And what that means is, if you have any amendments to make to this resolution, you're welcome to raise your hand. Okay, so Sandra, maybe just a sentence or two on what this was, just to refresh everyone's.
Okay, as a refresher, this resolution, basically most of the wording is describing our relationship with Manuel's Grocery and how and when we've exchanged money, and the history behind it, just so everybody can figure out what it is exactly, and the fact that the AC is going to meet with Annabelle soon, and we are going to come up with opinions, I guess, as to when we would get the funder before the end of the
summer. Okay. So we had a question and answer session last time, too. So this is where we do formal discussion. Again, this is where we suggest formal amendments to the resolution, if you have any. So, that are Jim and Ray.
No, it would probably come afterwards. It would most likely be, yeah, it would be my, because everybody as part of the other here. Is that okay? Okay. So, any other last minute questions before we do the session? Okay, seeing none, any amendments? So I would imagine, if there's no amendments, I would imagine taking motion. Okay, there has been a motion to vote on this resolution as it is. Right now, is there any dissent to voting? Okay, so we will now.
Actually, can you just scroll that down to the numbers again? That would be nice.
The numbers.
Or, I guess, switch over to the document that has accurate weight in this right.
Okay, this is the numbers that we are approving for all the committee budgets. We are now going, since there's no objection to voting, we are now going to vote formally on this resolution as it stands right now. Voting members, those of you in favor of this resolution, please raise your hands. I need to have like exact count. Those against? Okay, so with a vote of 13-0-5, the resolution passes. Congratulations, Sandra. We now have a working budget. Thank you. And we have a second old business from the last meeting in which we will be talking about Resolution 2, approving updates to the GPSA bylaws for the 2018-2019 term. So this is a process that OPS has to do and go through every year. I guess before going into formal discussion, we're open to some last minute questions. Or did you want to make an announcement first?
Yeah, so there was one amendment that was requested between meetings that I am putting here, and it was on behalf of Cassandra from the Appropriations Committee. That's basically adding in lines requesting liaisons to the different the different byline organizations that get byline funding, so that we have someone that, if they're going to get all this money from us straight with an equity, we should have some of that talks with them to make sure that they get are doing what we want them to do. Yeah?
Questions?
I think that's a great idea. I guess my suggestion might be to put as the top of the walls, say W or B, being on to the very filing groups and then indent it into a new line and have all expenses, because filing groups can change from time to time, and also making clear that these are seats that are coming from the our filing group, and also the record, yeah. As of our last year, we have count two seats liaisons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so are you?
That's why I said in the I two instead of one.
Oh, yes.
Right. So we can do that during formal discussion and amend this. But right now, just clarification questions for Alex regarding this whole, you know, just questions.
About the bylaws and general?
Yes. Before we go into okay, if we have none, then would you like to amend this?
So I guess my motion would be to let's start a motion to move bullet F, cinema down for the other bylaw organizations, make a top level header, B say liaisons to the organizations on a student activity fee, and indent in all the contributors.
Yeah, also the
fix it later, we're just having fun. Okay, so what do you want the exact to be?
Anons to organizations on student activity, or on the graduate freshman student activity.
Like that? So then that's on the table.
Right. So this amendment that Alex is working on is on the table. We can discuss it. Would anyone like to comment on it? Or would you like to vote on it?
Okay. Oh, I have a question.
Oh,
well, more discussion, but are we expecting, are we looking at these people to come from field trips? Where are we getting students?
Simba and one for a big red bar, and everything else is fair game. Intent.
Both of those are people on
the orientation should be above orientation for highlight, but that's a format.
And then the reason that we are listing it here is because of, you know, when Alex is gone, when I'm gone, we don't necessarily know, you know, that this space needs to be staffed. And this year it so happens that there's only interest for Kamau Cinema and Big Red Barn, but maybe in other years we might find people for other things. We just wouldn't know that we have actually have this, right? So essentially, we're listing all of this because, you know, as sort of like a resource to know that, you know, what kind of things we need to staff.
And it's also part of their
what happens when these aren't filled? And my other question is how we let the general graduate professional body know that there are roles outside
of the yeah, so if they go unfilled, then we don't have a say in the people that are using our money do what they want with the money. Right? They get free to use it however they want, and we don't get to say that we are getting the role, we ask for liaisons.
Per the guidelines from filing groups that we approved last spring, these are two seats and they're voting seats. So whatever the governing board, executive board, or other board is, you have two voting seats on if they're getting our money. So therefore, we have a strong voice on them. It's also to try and make sure two weeks free. It's also making sure that that's our money being spent appropriately. So they are important to know. And it will be assembly tabled early in the semester. And generally, express interest to try to match, so hopefully they'll get billed. But remember, it's interesting.
People might have that extra people that
isn't
one of here's don't get any information, right? So, and
have a bigger guard to
Yes, absolutely.
And this is only the list for the byline, so there are like a whole other list of other university committees that they're always seeking to fill. What Alex has done and what we've done during Million Teachers is take out everybody's interests, who sign up with us, and get emailed each person with the possible things.
The vast majority of people, like, they haven't gotten an email, I've sent you.
Yeah, so Alex has emailed a lot of people sort of trying to manage their interests to continue to fill. And those that we could fill, we have filled, right?
Yeah.
In general.
In general, if someone's first using something and they wanted it, then they have.
Yeah.
This one.
What's your next meeting?
It's not currently scheduled, but I'm just hoping this following week.
So we are still on discussion, on formal discussion on this meeting. There was a question, and any other do you want to discuss this more, or would you like to vote?
Are we discussing like the changes that Alex is driving right now, or
we are discussing specifically sections you do, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We are discussing the amendment that Matt is doing to Alex's amendment.
So there are two amendments to it.
There is a sub-amendment.
Okay, excellent, thank you.
Yes. So. Any objection to voting on the question? Yeah, to voting? Seeing none, is there any objection to accepting this? Seeing none, the amendments are accepted. Thank you, Matt. And now we're going back to Alex's amendment,
yes.
Right?
So Alex.
Adding the whole thing in general. Just now we were talking about the formatting of everything, and now we're talking about the content of this. And if there's any discussion, you can suggest more amendments. If not, I would entertain a motion to vote. Okay, is there a second? Is there any objection to voting on this amendment? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection to adding this content? Seeing none, we will accept this amendment. Okay, and now we're going back to the whole resolution itself. Any other amendments that you would like to suggest?
As a reminder, we'll obviously edit in the date when this whole thing passes. We got in that clause. We just edited this section. That was just passed as the amendment. AC got rid of some obsolete sections. Or FC did. AC said we're going to pass that back into the person. We also put in text about how we go about resolutions, which is we first introduce them, they have questions, and then the next meeting we go about it, talk about them, which could be used. And that is, those are all the changes that are currently listed.
I looked at the appointment process last meeting. It's in the whole bylaws, those are both repetitive, so I think operating with what we're looking, let's simplify them, so readable. But there are two things for 2 minute credits that I propose. First is on like 83, which is on page 3. Yeah, that would be the, it says it isn't from indices to 81 now, if you renumber. But it says that the executive vice president and council for DPSA shall serve as ex officio members of the operations and staffing committee. I want to propose we strike the executive vice and make them president. The executive vice president is already a member of operations because the executive vice president is the chair of the executive committee. It would make more sense to have, therefore, the chair of the assembly be the ex officio member rather than just write executive vice. Yep.
Okay. There has been a suggestion to strike executive vice such that line 81 reads the president and council, the GPSA shall serve as ex officio. officio member to the operations committee. This is under operations. So we're now, is there a second? Okay, so we're now discussing this specific change. Any discussions?
Okay, vote on the amendment.
Okay, there's been a motion to vote on this amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, is there an objection to voting? Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment passes. Thank you, Matt. So now line 81 reads the president and without executive vice.
One other quick amendment. Line 701, 18, it's new again.
Yeah.
It said that resolutions are needed to table. Parliamentary supervisor was always the word looking for because tabling is only technically done. It was a pressing matter that some better, it would be better to be postponed. But I have to pass the change.
That's fine. This, and that's an amendment to that.
Okay. So is there a second? Okay, there's been a second. We're now discussing the change on line 692 from table to postpone. Okay, any second? Any objection to voting on that? Seeing none, is there any objection to using postpone instead of table? Seeing none, it passes. Thank you, Matt. Any other suggestions to amendments? So there has been a motion to vote on the whole resolution as it stands. There's a second.
Do you want me to pull open the actual resolution document? Like the one that all it says is
yes.
Include the amendments?
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there an objection to voting on this resolution right now as it stands? Seeing none, we'll need a formal vote again. So all voting members only. Those in favor of passing this resolution as it stands right now, please raise your hand. High and steady. Those against? Okay. So with a vote of 13 to 0 to 5, the resolution passes. Thank you, Alex. Congratulations. So we are done with our bylaw. And everyone's favorite. Right. We have adjournment next. Okay. Is there any objection to adjourning right now? Seeing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. That's what
Thank you.